Welcome to season 5 of Swiss Impact with Benedict. I'm Sveta.
And I am Ben. The topic of season 5 is impactful investments. How can you make a difference with your capital?
Our guests, who are managing impact investment funds, business owners, thought leaders, will empower you to invest with impact.
In this season, we will showcase various impact investment funds who are contributing to SDGs, better known as Sustainable Development Goals, as defined by the United Nations.
There is no excuse. Shift your capital to create positive change in our world. Your children will be happier, you will feel fulfilled, and make money.
We will broadcast every Friday afternoon at 5 p.m. Central European Time, here on Swiss Impact with Banerjee. You get more when you give back.
So always invest with impact.
Good morning, afternoon, and evening to everyone.
Welcome back to episode 10 of our season 5 dedicated to impactful investment opportunities.
And we are now in the beginning of September, but the summer is still here in Switzerland. In fact, it was so warm that just a couple of days back, we were swimming in the lake and we were not feeling cold at all.
That's right, indeed. And this is one of the reasons why today we are going to present one company who is doing immense effort to support impactful entrepreneurs, which want to create better world for all. And our dear audience, we are bringing only the best companies for you. And today there will be not one, but several. You will hear a lot of stories.
So please keep watching our programs at many channels on smart TVs, social media like LinkedIn, Facebook, YouTube. It's very easy. Just you can subscribe on the YouTube at Swiss Impact, or just listen on the podcast at Spotify. And remember to share it with your friends and family who want to learn or invest into amazing and this fastest growing sector of impact and sustainability.
Absolutely, Ben, but let's keep the tradition, story time. What can you tell us today?
So, you know, today is a special day. We are having this amazing woman who is coming to tell us about her activities and the special mission she is working at and what we are also very much active in.
Precisely. She is very committed to find solutions for some of the most pressing environmental and social challenges of our time. Therefore, your story, Ben, today should prepare the mood to welcome her.
Okay. So going forward, what I would like to say is that when we were young and growing up, most of us or our parents had fixed jobs. And we were thinking when we went to school, when we went to university, that one day, someday, we will grow up and work in a large public company or a private company. My father built up most of his career at a multinational called GEC. But now we live in a different era. The present and future youth are not only growing into entrepreneurship, but they all are going to work at building their own future and simultaneously contribute to the world and to the society.
So all of you with gray hair should really come together and support them to facilitate their success and the future, not only of their future, but also our future and future generations.
It's funny that you say that. Just a couple of days back, we had an amazing 4 hours lunch with 3 very amazing people. And 3 of them all are leaders, one from Argentina, one from US, and one from India. And we spoke of systemic change.
But the word systemic change scares a lot of people, actually, you know, and in despair, they often say, oh no, nothing will happen.
It is very true in that sense, but that is not what I meant. I was speaking more of looking at the world in 360 degrees, instead through a binocular. I remember when I was young and growing up in India, there used to be a time when India, so many people were suffering from hunger, and India was a net food importer. That means it was importing much more food than exporting. The government decided, but this was quite early times, to primarily focus on only increasing food production at any cost. And I'm not criticizing them. It worked. It worked so well compared to the time and the knowledge and resources they had available that India today is a net food exporter. In fact, it has the capacity to feed a huge portion of the world population. But at what cost? Mm-hmm. The soil quality, nutrition value is devastated. The movement created creation of large farms, thus destroying the small farms or family unit farms, which also contributed to massive migration out of villages and increase of poverty. The nature got attacked and destroyed, etc., etc., etc. So looking from today's point of view, it was not a very good decision. But what we can learn from this is to check the consequences of our action from 360 degrees. And that's exactly why I'm so happy that our impact sector, that's what we are always trying to do.
Now I understand and hope our audience what you meant by systemic change. Systemic change in our way of thinking and acting. Well, let's see what our guest of today does in order such huge change to happen on our planet. With this, I'd like to welcome Carolina from 100 Plus Accelerator of AB in Bath. Carolina, are you there with us?
Hello, Ben and Sveta. Thank you so much for having me and inviting me to the show. I'm very excited to be here.
Great to have you. Where are you right now?
I'm in New York.
The Big Apple.
City. Great. Carolina, it's such a pleasure to have you. And I'm truly happy because, again, another inspiring and powerful female is at the show. So I'm always extra happy about that. Let me introduce you quickly to our audience first. So Carolina Garcia Arbeláez is a Global Sustainability and Innovation Director for AB InBev and is the co-lead of the 100 Plus Accelerator. You are the leader with over 10 years of experience working for a more equitable and sustainable world. You are also a One Young World Ambassador and one of the 88 women around the world chosen for the Homeward Bound Leadership Program and its Antarctic expedition in 2019. I hope you were not too cold there. You are also the founder of Still New, a sustainable fashion for children startup. You have various degrees in economics and law, and also an author of a book which I find very interesting, Cambio Climatico, Lo que está en juego, Climate Change, What is There in the Game? And I'd like also to mention the accelerator itself. So 100 Plus Accelerator was launched recently in 2018 and has already achieved a lot. So over the last 2 years, the program was 70 companies gone through the program in more than 20 countries. The accelerator offers size and scale to passionate entrepreneurs to help bring their solutions to market faster, which is very important nowadays. And these startups have raised more than $300 million and are scaling globally to achieve program's mission, which is accelerate the world shift towards sustainable solutions and to do business the right way, not the easy way. Love that one. So welcome to Swiss Impact with Benedis. We are really happy to tackle you with many questions.
So thank you. Thank you for the invitation.
Tell us about your inspiring story in a bit more detail. How did you end up where you are today?
Well, something that you should know is that I'm Colombian, and Colombia is one of the most biodiverse countries per meter squared in the world. So I always grew up close to nature, loving nature very much. And I went to law school, and at some point during my law career, I got to know of the very pressing sustainability problems that we were facing. That was at the time when the Kyoto Protocol, for example, was having so many challenges to be renegotiated, and when the world thought that we could never reach again a global climate agreement, right? So at that moment in time, I decided that I wanted to work for a more sustainable and equitable future. and I began my career working on environment. However, I never ever expected to join the private sector, actually. I was a lawyer, my parents are doctors. My first jobs were either, I began at a media outlet, then I joined the sustainability think tank, and then I joined the World Wildlife Fund at a very interesting time because all the climate negotiations were going on. It was the time back in COP in Warsaw, so 2 years before the Paris Agreement, 2013 more or less. And we were all working on advocacy on a global level and on a local level. And then 2015 came, and it was a very important year, not only because of the adoption of the Paris Agreement, which was such a landmark, but also the adoption of the UN SDGs. And I think that at that point it was very clear for me and for many other stakeholders in the world that the private sector was a key actor, that non-state actors were super relevant in this agenda, because if they are part of the problem, they need to be part of the solution, of course, and that no wicked problem and the climate crisis would never be solved without changing private sector DNA. Also, and I just wanted to mention this, the first time that I got fascinated by the private sector and the role that it could have was when I translated Pavan Sukhdev Corporation 2020 into Spanish. So that was so illuminating for me, because at that moment I realized he's right. Corporations are 70% of the world's GDP, 70% of employment worldwide. We need to change its DNA. And corporations don't have to be what they were on the last century. Actually, in this century, only corporations that truly change their DNA and are truly sustainable will be the ones that succeed. And that moment is when I joined AB InBev back in 2017, at a very special moment as well, because the company was changing. It was in its journey to become even more sustainable. They were launching their sustainability goals and mission. And at first I was, okay, I want to learn how these people at the private sector think. I always joke about it because I say, okay, this was like an experiment for me. I felt that I was a panda undercover trying to understand how these crazy people in the private sector thought. And then I actually fell in love with the company and with them, and more than the company, with the impact that you can have when you work in an organization that has so much scale. That in the case of AB InBev, for example, we're the largest brewery in the world. We are operating in over 50 countries, selling our products in over 150. So we have the scale, the purchasing power, and that the ability to truly transform. So I think that I fell in love with that. And that happened like over 5 years and a half from now. And I've been working at the company on sustainability at a local level, at a regional level, and now on a global scope. With an amazing initiative that we will talk more about, that is the 100 Plus Accelerator, which I just love it because it gives me all the reasons to believe that change is possible.
You mentioned 3 points which are very, very correct. I mean, one is that if the big companies like AB InBev makes a change, it impacts so much more than all of us small companies or small citizens making a difference. That is really, really a very powerful change. And secondly, I know that there's so many big companies which still have to make that step. And I fully believe in what you said. The third is that the businesses have to be involved. That's what I also have been speaking all around the world on this, that all these environmental laws and policies are being created by the governments and by the financial sector. But the ones who are supposed to implement it, the business, is often missing on the decision table. And you're doing exactly right on bringing the business also on it.
That's exactly the point. Ben summarizes is correctly. I just joined you in your thoughts. But I have another question for you, Caroline. Why supply chain? So why it is so important for you, and why do you think it's important for our planet?
Of course, because a business, it's not the factory, right? It's everything that goes beyond and above, right? So supply chains, our supply chain has the size, the dimension to actually truly transform the livelihoods and have a very positive impact. Just look at it. Beer is natural, right? It's made out of water, barley, hops. If you just think of barley, we work with over 20,000 smallholder farmers and farmers all across the world, and that are part of our supply chain. Packaging. With packaging, we are also sourcing aluminum, we're sourcing glass, we're sourcing PET, and also we're working with even waste speakers that are now even helping us recover that post-consumer waste so we can incorporate again in our value chain. So corporations not only need to change the way that they produce in the brewery, they need to change their value chain. They need to have traceability. They need to understand where their raw materials are coming from. They need to work in partnership with the suppliers to actually change. And something which is fascinating and not many people know, it's when you think about carbon emissions, for example, everyone thinks, okay, if the brewery or if the factory, I'm giving the example of the brewery because I work at a brewery, at a company that produces beer, but usually when people think about zero net emissions, they think of companies and they think of the factory. If the factory is powered 100% but by renewable energy, then great. And the truth is that the emissions rarely, like the big portion of the emissions are not coming from the factory. They're coming from the value chain that we call this a scope three. And if you think of companies similar to ours, I would even say that more than 70% of the emissions from companies like AB InBev are coming from the value chain. So this means that we need to partner with all our suppliers to do the transition. And that's why transforming value chains is the key to actually become truly sustainable and have sustainability embedded within the DNA. And it's also what's going to make us resilient for the future and a company that is successful in the future.
Well, I name it big elephant in the room, and many don't like to talk about it, right? And even less want to take an action on that. So it's really great that you guys are addressing that and taking action. Amazing.
And what is the, so now you can tell us about your baby, the 100 plus accelerator. And what is it and why was it created?
Well, that's a great question. So as I mentioned when I was telling you my story, back in 2017, when I joined the company, we were at this moment of launching our global sustainability goals. And back in the day, we all gathered and launched very ambitious sustainability goals on climate action, smart agriculture, water stewardship, circular packaging. But guess what? We didn't have the answers to all of it. Even if we have more than 100,000 employees all across the world that are working relentlessly, we don't have the answers to all the challenges that we have. And at that time, Macy Devine, who is the architect of the program, she came with this idea that now we both co-lead of how we can bring innovators that are all across the world and are solving these challenges, and that they already have a product in market, right? They already have a proof of concept, and we can work with them and partner together and scale these solutions in our value chains. And this is going to help us reach our sustainability goals faster. And we did that back in 2018. We launched the program. Our first cohort had 20 companies. Then we did the second year in the middle of COVID with around 15 companies all across the world. And we had amazing results, not only from a sustainability perspective, which of course it's the main driver of the program, but also on a business level, on a financial level. These startups were bringing us great savings because becoming more sustainable is also good business. And we need to understand this. So this is why last year or 2 years ago now already, the program changed a little bit and it became bigger and more transformative. When we launched the program, we never wanted to do it alone, because at the end of the day, the challenges that AB InBev has aren't challenges that are exclusive to AB InBev, are challenges that the industry is facing as a whole, and challenges that if we overcome them are not only relevant for industry, but are going to be decisive to actually achieve the UN Sustainable Development Goals. So we never wanted to be alone in this mission. And thankfully, we got three amazing companies that didn't want to invent the wheel themselves. So in 2020, Unilever, Coca-Cola, and Colgate-Palmolive decided to join the 100 Plus Accelerator. And now it's four of the largest companies in the world working together and collaborating to boost innovation, sustainable innovation. And for me, this is very inspiring because, can you imagine? With these four companies, that we are basically in every market in the world. We're basically in every household in the world. We have the purchasing power and the value chains to do something truly transformative. And we want to go above and beyond. We don't want to stay just four companies. We are building a movement that it's truly transformative and can help us bring these systems change.
I just wanted to ask that you mentioned the names of Unilever, Coca-Cola, and which one was the third one?
Colgate-Palmolive.
Oh, Colgate-Palmolive, yeah. So, but they all have different levels. So if you look at Unilever, they are quite very strongly pushing the sustainability since a long, long time. They are very advanced, they are very open about it. But Coca-Cola, on the other hand, has not. So you are having partners who are at different levels.
I think that's a fair question. That's a fair statement. What I think is that all companies are in a journey. And it's not a question about being perfect. It's about being in the correct direction and in the journey to actually be better, right? So Unilever, of course, we really admire the work that they've done. They've been leaders for many years. I think that with Paul Polman being their leader for so many years, they came ahead. And for us, it's very inspiring also to learn from them. But I would say that all the corporate partners in the 100 Plus Accelerator are truly committed to a vision of fostering a more sustainable, equitable, and regenerative future. Of course, we are all in different stages.
We need to know more. We need to invite them one by one to interview them. All right. But I'd like to know more about what exactly 100 Plus Accelerator is doing and how do you help entrepreneurs to bring their solutions to market faster?
Excellent question. So every year we publish different challenges that we're facing, challenges that vary a lot. So for example, how do we eliminate single-use plastic from our value chain? Or how do we measure in real time water quality in a watershed? Or how do we better storage renewable energy? So many challenges that we have, and they are all in our website, very detailed. And we launch applications. So startups that already have a proof of concept, that have traction, can apply to the program. And this year we received for the fourth cohort, which we are selecting as we speak, we received 1,746 applications from companies all across the world. And you'll meet two, because that's the surprise. We have two great companies that you'll meet today. But long story short, we receive applications, we review them. It's a very hard process because I would love to work with all of them. They are really an inspiration for us.
That's possible. I know. We also run some competitions ourselves, so we know how hard it is. Yes.
Very hard, very daunting. And then we select a group. Last year, when the corporate partners joined, we selected 35 companies. And then to each of them, we give them up to $100,000. This is equity free. This is just to fund the pilot within our value chains. But most importantly, when we select a startup, we match them with a team of our companies that is going to help them implement the pilot, define the KPIs, define the timeline, which is very important because they work hand in hand to make the pilot successful. So if you're a startup working in Accra, Ghana, or Bogota, Colombia, or wherever, you'll have a team that is going to work with you and help you navigate within the multinational, because it's very hard when you're a small company to start working with these giant multinationals. You need all the support to actually be successful, people actually rooting for you, co-creating with you, willing to even fail with you and make it better. And then we run the program for around a year where we implement these pilots. And of course, parallel to that, we also give them many resources. We partner with TED to help them train them in public speaking, with the Black Swan Group to train them in negotiation, with Leaders Quest to train them in leadership, because we do think that these are going to be the super important CEOs of this century. So we need to have better leaders. We train them in marketing, in financial planning. So in many things, but the most important part of it is actually delivering on the pilot. And then it all concludes with a demo day that you're very welcome and invited to join us on our next demo day for cohort 4, where they actually show the results of their pilots. And if successful, we help them grow and scale. So this is super interesting because then you end up having wonderful stories of a company that, I don't know, began in Argentina, now it's working with our teams in India, which is amazing because, and that is something that can only happen when this partnership occurs, because we can help these companies grow at a pace that they've never imagined, but also they can help us bring these solutions that would be impossible to find ourselves in our daily jobs.
Mm-hmm. And now something which is very, very important to me is Climate Action Challenge. Can you tell us a bit more about that?
Of course. So the Climate Action Challenge has, it's very varied because, as you know, there's not one solution to the climate crisis and climate is cross-cutting. So we've tried different things and I'll give you a couple of examples. So on the one hand, we have the renewable energies and fuel switch challenges that we're looking. And last year, for example, we piloted with this great company in China called Sunmen that they produce ultra lightweight and completely flexible solar panels, which are 70% less heavy, which is great because sometimes you want to install solar panels everywhere, but then you have to change your roof, do this infrastructure investment that is very hard. With their solar panels, we now can cover every roof. We're even covering the tanks, which is like a very unconventional surface for solar panels. And we've already done this in two breweries in China, and we want to go beyond. So that's a very tangible example. But also we're looking at, as I told you, our scope 3 emissions very seriously. So one very important pillar for the 4 companies is refrigeration. You wouldn't believe, but around 20% of our emissions come from cooling, which maybe someone would never imagine that, right? But we have coolers in all the supermarkets, in all of our mom and pop shops. And we, for example, have a startup that we are co-piloting with Coca-Cola, and it's a Hungarian startup called V-Chiller, and they have a technology to do rapid cooling. So instead of having all your cans cold all the time, they will do rapid cooling, and this means that we can significantly reduce energy consumption. We're also working with startups that are helping us transform our fleets. Transport is also very important. And then, of course, if we look at beyond, we also are working on smart agriculture to transition to regenerative agriculture. And we'll hear more about this with one of our guests, which also has many climate benefits, as we will hear.
Right. But you have many more challenges, right? Let's talk about circular packaging, one of my favorite ones. I always go back when it's wrapped in plastic, you know, it's like immediately negative and turns me off.
Well, that actually, it's a challenge where the 4 corporate partners are always united because we all are having the same dilemmas, right? And it's also very linked to emissions because packaging is one of our main source of emissions. So we are working with different startups all across the world that are helping us change to more sustainable and circular packaging. In fact, from cohort 3 out of the 35 startups, 13 were circular packaging related. And we have like all sorts of startups. We have some that are helping us increase post-consumer waste collection because, of course, we all dream to have a beer bottle that is made out of 100% recycled glass or a PET bottle that is made of 100% recycled PET. But that's easier said than done, right? You need to collect all that waste and you need to work with waste pickers. You need to create all the value chain to actually get all that post-consumer waste. So that's why we have been working with several startups across the world that are helping us do that. But we're also working with startups that are helping us change materials. And for example, we have, I'll give you a very good one. Miterro is a Chinese startup. And maybe I'll choose other nationalities in a while. I just got China on top of my mind today. But Miterro basically develops an alternative to single-use plastic. They use brewer spent grain. and they produce an alternative to single-use plastic that is not only flexible, but also soluble and biodegradable. And we are piloting with Unilever to do detergent pots that use this new sustainable packaging. So that's super interesting. We have many examples. You could have me like in 4 episodes talking about this for sure.
Can you give us a few for smart agriculture, biodiversity, maybe water stewardship?
Well, I think that instead of hearing me talk about it, maybe we can bring someone that can talk about it as well.
Let's bring some living examples here.
Exactly. I would love to invite Santiago Espinosa, the CEO of Toroto, that it's a company that is doing so many things to transform the world. He can tell us more about smart agriculture. And likewise, Andrew Wallace, CEO of Chansey, that is helping us upcycle waste and create value out of waste, which is very important too. So if you bring them in, Ben and Sveta, they can tell you everything.
They're right here, right there. Hi, Andrew. Hi, Santiago. Great to have you with us. Bye. Hi. Buenos dias. Buenas noches. With whom shall we start? Santiago, maybe you tell us a bit more what your enterprise is doing and how do you positively impact our world?
Great. Good afternoon. I'm very happy to be here. Thanks for the invitation. So as Caro has been saying, AB InBev has made a very serious commitment to become a net zero company by 2040 along 100% of its supply chain. Now, over 10% of all of their emissions come from agriculture, and almost half of that comes from barley. So what we are doing is we are implementing regenerative agricultural practices on dozens of hectares of barley production. I'm talking about using cover crops, heavily reducing the use of chemical fertilizer, phasing out heavy machinery, and also rotating the crops from one year to the other. And this has two very important impacts. Number one, we reduce the overall greenhouse gas emissions that go to the atmosphere as a consequence of barley production. And number two, we also help the soil on which barley is produced to sequester organic carbon inside it in a way that is additional and permanent. Finally, we register and certify all of these processes against the most robust technical protocols available throughout the world, which gives an additional layer of transparency and traceability to everything that we do. This benefits the landowner, creating an additional revenue that is very, very, very welcome in these extremely turbulent times for land-based commodities. And we also register all of this on a blockchain-based registry that geo-references each ton of CO2 equivalent removed from the atmosphere.
Wow. How was your experience with Accelerator 100 Plus? What was the magical transformation which happened when you just joined and when you going to exceed or already exceeded the Accelerator?
The 100 Plus Accelerator has been a unique experience for us. The ideas inside it sound very simple. But once you start realizing that each of these ideas is actually being implemented inside the supply chain of a corporate giant, it changes the whole picture. We all know we need trees. We all know we need sustainable protein. We all know we need healthy soils. We all know supply chains need to be decarbonized. These are not the novel ideas, but the 100 Plus Accelerator is the only program in the world where when you go into the room, all of the startups that you meet are actually implementing these ideas with a corporate partner. This for us is a unique experience.
Great.
Wow. I mean, this is really turning ideas into deeds. I mean, it's an amazing thing.
Andrew, what about you? What are of type of impact are you creating in the world?
And where are you?
Yeah, I'm currently sat in Nairobi in Kenya. I am CEO and co-founder of a company called Chansey. Chansey is Swahili for black soldier fly, which is a very small, very simple, but very effective and powerful insect. The insect will take waste organic waste, food waste, anything that would normally end up in landfill or dumps, and it'll convert it into protein for animal feed. It consumes the waste and it gives us a very high in protein product. It also gives us a byproduct, which is insect manure, which we use as a fertilizer. But obviously we do this at a huge scale, millions and millions of these maggots, churning through tons and tons of waste, and we have facilities set up throughout East Africa. So that's where we've partnered with AB InBev. They produce a lot of waste, and they needed a solution for it. So we said, well, it turns out our insects really like their waste, almost as much as I like their product.
Mother Nature is amazing.
And so we take their waste and we mix it with municipal waste. So waste from kitchens, schools, businesses, hotels, restaurants, any food waste, we mix it into a slurry. We pump it into greenhouses and the insects consume it and upcycle it into something valuable, and leave nothing behind.
Wow, that sounds like impossible, mission impossible until it's done, right?
But what kind of waste comes out of AB InBev? It's also organic waste.
So in the beer making process, you have brewer's spent grain, and you also have brewer's spent yeast. These are byproducts that are left over after they brew our delicious beer. The brewer's spent yeast especially is a difficult product to get rid of for AB InBev. So they had a waste disposal problem, which we're looking to help them out with. And the good news is as I said, our insects love their waste and will happily consume it all day long and convert it into protein.
That's good. That's amazing. Yeah. Really, Andrew, I mean, congratulations on finding such a cool solution with the help of Mother Nature. How was your experience with Accelerator 100 Plus? Would you also agree with Santiago, or you have something to add?
I was skeptical at first. We were invited to a number of different accelerator programs a while back, and I told my business partner and he said, no, you're not allowed to go on this. It's ridiculous, because they were full-time positions. You'd have to go for 6 to 12 months to the US or the UK. And he said, no, you've got a business to run. My business partner had faith in my abilities to run the business, and he didn't want me to disappear for 6 months. When I found the Accelerator 100 Plus, they assured me that it wasn't going to be too onerous. It was going to be efficient, targeted, and basically would be able to incorporate with my timeline as a CEO of a very rapidly growing company. And they were 100% right. We'd check in a couple of times a week, and every time we'd check in, it would be incredibly beneficial. The courses that they put together really improved me as a professional and as a person. I think it's one of those things, you know, you get out what you put in. So they've provided a fantastic platform, and I think everyone in the accelerator program would agree, grabbed that with both hands, and really got huge benefit out of it. And I've enjoyed it a lot as well. So yeah, a big advocate for what they're doing.
Thank you very, very much, Andrea and Santiago. So coming back to you, Carolina, are you considering adding more challenges in the future?
Definitely, because challenges are evolving all the time. They are changing. So in fact, this year we launched three new challenges. Well, three new like pillars, because every pillar has like sub challenges. On the one hand, for the first time, we launched the challenge on biodiversity, which I already told you that it's very close to my heart. And we see these, you know, that there's a big biodiversity loss crisis in the world, that it's very relevant. And we want to take action. And we also want to see how our companies can take action and start measuring our impact and have a better understanding of the implications of biodiversity loss. So we have that, and that's brand new. We have not piloted with any startup addressing these. So we are in the selection process. Perhaps we will tell you in a next episode what we do, but we are also working very closely with TNFD to do this pilot with the startups. And then we also have an inclusive growth pillar this year, which is completely new. We had not done it on previous cohorts. And we're looking at so many different sorts of solutions, like from how to engage even more with citizens and make our marketing campaigns more sustainable, from how to create more inclusive products that take into account different types of populations. So it's super interesting. I've been so inspired by the different solutions and companies that are just doing amazing stuff out there. Some things that you would never even imagine that existed. And then last but not least, we are also engaging very closely with our brands. So last year, we began working with Corona. Corona is one of our leading brands, and perhaps you love that beer. I do, definitely. And Corona wants to protect their paradise, and their paradise are the oceans. Every time that you see something related to Corona, you'll see a beach, right? And their paradise are the oceans, and they want to protect the oceans from single-use plastic that is polluting the oceans heavily. They have committed to phase out single-use plastic throughout their value chain and to recover plastic as well. So they launched a challenge last year where they were looking for solutions that could help them eliminate the single-use plastic out of their value chain. And it has been going great. They are continuing with these challenges. But then Rexona, the deodorant brand from Unilever, also got inspired by Corona, and they launched a challenge this year that's called the Corona Inclusivity Challenge. And they're looking at solutions that can help the brand be more inclusive and empower the communities that they work with.
Carolina, I know that Santiago and Andrew are very busy CEOs of the inspiring companies. So before they go, I just want quickly to thank them for joining and invite also to join our impact community, camomile.ch, register. And as a little thank you, we will upgrade your membership. So join us as well as impact leaders. Okay. And thank you for joining us today. Bye.
Thank you very much.
Good luck to your inspiring businesses.
Thank you very much. Cheers.
Thank you very much, Andrew. But why do you focus in companies from seed to Series B stage?
Well, because we don't want to have a unique focus, because it's good to have a diversity. So sometimes it's good to have companies that have a lot of traction, that have already the teams and the budget in place to actually scale and grow. Because if we find an amazing solution, so the example of the detergent pots, let's say that it passes all the lab tests and we're ready to deploy into market. Of course, we need the startup to have the capacity, the infrastructure to actually produce these. So it's good to have companies that have traction. So a Series B or a Series A or even a Series C that have a lot of traction and can deliver. But then sometimes you find ideas that are amazing, that are the innovation that is going to help us leapfrog. And maybe they don't have as much traction. Maybe they just have a prototype. But their ideas are like, their innovation is so important that we just need to try it. Like the rapid cooling technology that I told you about, it's on a prototype phase. But if we're not going to help them test, like who will, right? So at the end of the day, we like to have a diverse group, with some with more traction, some on an earlier stage, from different nationalities, addressing different challenges, because I also think that the diversity within the cohort is part of the magic. And also seeing how their relationships grow, and also how some startups end up working together and joining forces on different fronts, it's just amazing.
Absolutely. Caroline, I have a very delicate question. And what I want to ask is about property rights or intellectual rights, you know? So when a company startup joining you, do they need to give it up, intellectual property rights, or not? How does it work?
No. This is not a controversial question. Our program is completely founder friendly. We have a founder's first mentality. So first of all, their IP or their intellectual property is theirs. In fact, we've had cases where the startup doesn't have IP, and we can even help them with lawyers pro bono, helping them get the IP. So it's theirs. We don't want to take any IP. However, there could be like specific cases, and I'll give you an example. Sometimes in order to develop that specific solution for a company, they work very closely with the R&D teams. This is in very specific cases. And in those cases, it hasn't happened yet, but what we would do in that very specific case, if there is a joint development, then we would maybe do joint IP for that new solution. But the solutions that they already have, their IP is theirs, and we would always do everything to protect that. The program is completely founders friendly. That's why we don't take equity from the pilot, which is also something very unique of this program. You have many accelerators that give funding, but they also take equity out of that funding. Mm-hmm. And then also we don't ask for exclusivity. Like if a startup, if Santiago's solution on regenerative agriculture for barley works for us, we hope that it also works for Carlsberg, for Heineken, for all of our competitors. Like the world's not going to change if AB InBev, Unilever, Coca-Cola, and Colgate-Palmolive are the most sustainable companies in the world. We need all the companies to be sustainable. That's why we want everyone to start looking for these solutions. And if a solution is useful for us, it should be useful for the industry as a whole.
That's what I wanted to hear.
I wanted to, after the show, I wanted to send you my home address so that you can post me this instant cooling idea. This is so good. I love cold beers. So, I wanted to ask, what is this demo day? Is it that all companies come and make a pitch, or what is it?
Yeah, exactly. So after the program, like after we have the results of the pilot, we all gather at a demo day. This year, we hosted it in June in New York at the Shed. And we brought the 35 companies from all across the world to show their solutions. And we invite key stakeholders, so from VCs to other peer companies to NGOs. Ben and Sveta, you're going to be invited to our demo day next year for sure. And it's a great problem. You're coming. Now you've said it in live. So I'm holding you accountable to that promise.
Yeah. Especially with the instant cooling for the beer.
Even though I don't drink beer, I will be there.
Don't worry. You don't have to drink beer to enjoy these amazing solutions. And actually, it's a great platform for the startups because so many doors open to them when they can actually showcase their results of the pilot. But for us, and this was just an amazing result of this demo day, because the previous one, we did it virtually. Of course, we were in the middle of COVID. And the first one, we did it in our offices. It still was a little bit more internal, but this one, we did a really big event in New York with many stakeholders. And what was really interesting to see is how this event gave hope to so many people. After the event, we received so many emails just thanking us for empowering them with reasons to believe and with hope. I think that after COVID, after seeing the many challenges that our humanity is facing right now, people actually need to see the solutions out there and not only good ideas, because as Santi was saying before, there are many ideas out there and we know what we need to do, but we need to see action. Ideas are no longer interesting. We need to see the results. So I think for people seeing that, okay, these crazy, amazing solutions are already being tested, piloted, and scaled by four of the largest companies in the world was very inspiring and hopeful. And it fueled us all with so much energy to continue this work of building a better place, right?
Right.
I just wanted to add something. You also know that I'm with the CLC, the Climate Leadership Coalition, which is also the organization of the biggest businesses in Europe. Would they be invited to join, or would you also consider them? They are multinationals also. Consider them to join 100 Plus Accelerator.
Of course. So Ben, as I was mentioning, we don't want this to be just an initiative of four companies. We are going to build a movement and a vision. However, when these initial three companies decided to join, then we said, okay, let's start the four of us. It was already a challenge to triple the size of the program, and we needed to have the teams in place to deliver. You know, it's always better to over deliver than to over promise, and we need to grow at a pace that we can manage. And the first year, it was amazing. We think that the 100 Plus Accelerator, it's kind of a startup itself within these four companies, because we are learning as day goes by. And it was the first time that four companies were working together. Four companies that are competitors, because AB InBev and Coca-Cola are competitors in many markets, and Unilever and Colgate are competitors too. So we were building trust. You know, we didn't know each other. The first time that we met was through Zoom. And then we built trust. We are now sharing the results, working together, doing joint pilots. We managed to standardize the process to get the agility that we needed to deliver on these pilots. And now we're running the second year of the program. And I think we're now in a more evolved and better shape to bring other partners in and to keep on growing. But of course, we need to think long term. Like, no solution is good if you're only thinking like 1 year shot. No, that's not. We need to build a vision that can continue delivering further beyond 2030 when we aim to reach the global sustainability goals. We need this to be long-term.
Yeah. But I just wanted to add to that, that the supply chain is for every industry. It doesn't matter which sector you go, you have to manage supply chain. But your four members, including yourself, are very much into consumer products, drinks, food. What about other products? Companies which are creating other products?
Well, you would be surprised, but I think that many companies, even if they are doing completely different products, have the same challenges. So right now, so many companies, even software companies, have zero net emissions targets, and they are trying to transition towards renewable energy. You know, they have fleets and they want to have electric vehicles or hydrogen powered vehicles. They have relation towards water and they want to protect their basins. So even though the product might be different, at the end of the day, the challenges are similar, because those are the challenges that as a society we are facing. So I think that it makes a lot of sense also to add other partners that are not necessarily on the consumer facing products.
Okay.
Many of entrepreneurs are watching us right now, right? And they for sure are thinking, should I join Accelerate 100 Plus? But the competition is so hard, 1,700 applications. So what are the key advices you would give to businesses when they apply to be selected? What are the criteria you are looking at?
You're asking to give the questions of the test.
That's a great question. And for everyone who's listening today, we are going to open applications for cohort 5 next year. We are selecting cohort 4 as we speak, and we will publish the selection in the next couple of weeks, so stay tuned. I would say that first, to have the proof of concept, to have the idea already in market. Some companies apply where they are on a very early stage, and it would be very hard for us to choose a company that is on such an early stage. So that would be the first advice. The second one, to be very thoughtful on the application when you think of the pilot that you're going to implement within our value chains. Sometimes startups apply to these initiatives just looking for the funding, and they tell in their application, oh, with $100,000, I would buy this software or grow my team or, I don't know, install this thing. And at the end of the day, what we want is to jointly work together. So be very thoughtful about how you're envisioning to pilot within our value chains. That's very important for us. And then the third thing is be patient. Maybe this year wasn't the year. Sometimes we will choose a startup in a specific market because we have a focus on that market that year. Maybe a regulation is coming in that market that it's more pressing for us to choose one country than another. So if you didn't get selected 1 year, please continue to apply. We can also promise that we will continue to grow the program. The first year we had 20 companies. Now last year we had 35. And if we continue to dream big, potentially we will have more. So be part of our family, be part of our ecosystem. We are super happy and inspired to get to know you. And yeah, that would be like my three top advices for the companies that want to join.
Great. Thank you for these valuable advices. Caroline, we have some more questions till the time runs out. Your partner companies work in many parts of the developing world. How are they supporting the vulnerable people in the value chain?
That's an excellent question. And I think We've mentioned these throughout the interviews, and we can give many examples. We all work in developing markets, and for us, it's very important to find solutions in those markets and also empower companies from those markets. And you saw today we had a company, an African company, and also a Mexican company. And we are working with different communities. One that is very important for us, and I've mentioned these several times, is the Way Speakers. I personally think that Way Speakers are our heroes. They are the ones that are helping us get all these recycled content and actually divert so many tons of waste from landfills. But they are very vulnerable, and they traditionally have been very vulnerable and marginalized communities. So we need to work hand in hand with them to help them improve the livelihood and to make it better and more effective, the amazing job that they're doing. And we're doing this all across the world. So for example, in India, we implemented a pilot, both Unilever and Colgate, with this company that I just love. It's called Plastics for Change, and they do fair trade recycled plastic. So it's like, imagine when you come, well, when you buy fair trade coffee, they do the same, like all the traceability and all the conditions to ensure that every ton of post-consumer plastic that they collect is completely fair trade. We are also working with this female-founded startup in Ecuador that I love called Recibesi, and they developed this app where citizens can connect directly with grassroots recyclers and give them the waste already, like in your house, you can already separate the waste and give it to the Way Speaker directly, because in Ecuador, there's not a formal system to recycle. So I would say that Way Speakers, it's a very important community to us, but not only them, farmers are so important. And we have many smallholder farmers, and we are developing different solutions to help them improve their livelihoods in many fronts. So we, for example, implemented a pilot in Uganda with this Israeli company called Oko, where we were trying to get them insurance so they were being more resilient to any climate or any event that would help, that would reduce their yield. We are working with different companies that are helping be connected, skilled, and financially empowered. For example, one of our great companies, it's Bankyou, this company that are helping us get traceability and give them a digital identity to all of our smallholder farmers. And this is very important to them, because by having this identity, they're able to get a bank account, which it's something that we take for granted, but many people across the world can never get a bank account. And in fact, I'll just finish with an anecdote that when Bankyou and Ashish, you should get him on the show, he's just a rock star. When Ashish launched his company, he was working in Congo and he wanted to help some smallholder farmers, women, get their bank account. And he went to the bank and the bank told him, no. We cannot open a bank account for them, but we can bank you. And that's how he founded Bankyou. And so, well, as I told you, I can continue talking here and telling you about the founders, but we do work with many communities across the developing world.
This is amazing.
How would you say, what is the impact of 100 Plus Accelerator on the environment and society?
I mean, have you been collecting data or... on that?
Did you measure your impact?
Yes, of course. We are collecting data because our main driver is actually delivering on sustainability. So all of these solutions from all across the world are helping us reduce our carbon emissions. They're helping us increase our waste collection. They're helping us transition to regenerative agriculture. So we are in fact also trying to develop a software that can even help us track these metrics and track the impact better. And we also collect financial data. Like we estimate that by 2025, the startups, the 70 companies that have already gone through the program are going to bring us savings of over $100 million to the company. Because at the end of the day, they are helping us be more energy efficient, water efficient. They're helping us reduce costs, bring alternative sources of revenue. Just the Chansey example, Andrew didn't say it, but for example, in Tanzania, in Dar es Salaam, and in Arusha, where we currently have the Chances facilities, he's taking away from us the spendees that otherwise we would have to pay to get that into a landfill. So imagine that. We don't want spent yeast on a landfill. We want spent yeast feeding Andrew's maggots. And by that, we are not only producing high-value protein, but we're also reducing the cost of having to pay someone to take these into the landfill. So as I mentioned before, for us, it's very important to show that sustainable business is good business and that we can create companies a different way that are also, of course, cost-effective and financially sustainable in the long run, but that have sustainability in the DNA and can create value with every decision.
Wow. I'm so very impressed with you. And now one of our last questions is for our audience. So how can our audience support the 100 Plus Accelerator program?
What are you looking for, guys?
Well, first, I invite all of you to follow us in our social media. We're always posting content. We have Instagram for the younger communities, but we have LinkedIn, we have YouTube, Twitter, like we are everywhere. So if you want to be inspired to just interact with us, that's a great platform. Then, of course, like spreading out the word, if you have a friend who's a founder that wants to build a better place with us, let them know about this initiative and just like join the movement. I think that for all of us, it's so important that we are united. Like we always talk about collaboration. I think collaboration is the true source of power for transformation. At this moment in time, there's no room for egos, personal egos or corporate egos. We all need to work together because we have a very, very, very daunting challenge. We need also to be clear and we cannot be naive about science and about the facts. We're facing a very difficult situation. That's why we all need to work together. And I heard Santi, the CEO of Toroto, say this once in a conference, and it was very inspiring for me. And he would say that humanity is also the only species that has the capacity to actually restore if we want. And I think that that's the purpose of building our regenerative future, that, okay, we need to be accountable that we've destroyed a lot as humanity, but now we also have the capacity of restore and regenerate. And that is wonderful. That's also very inspiring to me. So I think that if we all of us join forces together, the private sector, citizens, governments, startups, we will have all the enabling conditions to build a better future.
Wow, this is quite very correct and true. And do you have any call to action for our global audience?
Well, besides what I've said, I would just say like, work relentlessly for these. Like, this is our planet, this is our future. Our generation is going to face very hard challenges and we need to be united. And also I would say, be open to learn and to care, because sometimes we just get overwhelmed with so many stories out there. And I think that we need to always be open to care and to make this relevant. And everyone can play a part. If you think you don't, I'm sure that you do. So just be inspired and take action from wherever you are.
Yeah, I'm going to make you regret that you opened this invitation. So because we also get so much amazing businesses, we are going to all forward it to you.
and bring them on.
You anyway have no time to sleep. You will have even less time to sleep now.
Challenge accepted, Ben and Sveta. We are super excited.
Sounds great. Caroline, the time really running out now. So thanks so much for joining us today and sharing such inspiring stories and businesses. It's really incredible. And I'm so happy to know that big corporations are on their journey. Let's not say they already impact 100%, but they're on their journey to action, to contribute and changing our world for a better place. So, and thank you. We, of course, invite you also to join our community, Chamomile, and we will also provide you our Impact Leader Certificate. so as you are a true leader in our eyes.
Exactly.
Thank you so much. It has been wonderful talking to you and being part of the program. As I said to Ben, like, this is going to be super fun to have these engaging conversations. So thank you for inviting us to this space. And hopefully this is just the start of a journey together and many things that we can work on as partners.
Absolutely. We hope so as well, Carolina. Thanks so much.
And I'm converted. From now, I only drink up in bed beer. No other beer. Thank you.
Bye, Carolina. All the best. See you. See you. For sure next year, right?
No, she may be coming to Switzerland.
Or earlier.
Yeah.
I'll let you know as soon as I'm there.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye for now, Carolina. Dear viewers, with this the episode 10 of season 5. And next week, we will be back with an amazing sustainable company solving world food security problem.
So please do not forget to subscribe on our YouTube channel at Swiss Impact, you will always be kept updated. Otherwise, you can also watch us on Spotify or Smart TV.
Absolutely. And if you think you are ready to be on the TV show, contact us and we, of course, will be happy to discuss this opportunity with you. And you can be here with us, present your impact in the world. As for now, you get more when you give back.
So always invest with impact. Bye for now.
Hi, we hope you enjoyed this episode of TV show, Swiss Impact with Banerjee.
Make sure you check out the next one and also find us on Facebook, LinkedIn, Spotify, podcasts, and any of your favorite social media places.
And please subscribe to our channel so you know when we release new episodes.
And also leave us some feedback to help us grow this awesome impact community and join it.
We look forward to sharing the next episodes with you. And until then, you get more when you give back.
So always invest with impact.